I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
This portion of the Final Edition Radio Hour is made possible by the Landmark Ledge Fund.
Your grandfather did it. His grandfather did it. Someday soon, you'll be doing it. For old money, it's the only honorable way to go. But insurers won't pay your family benefits. And modern skyscrapers have no ledges. But worry no more. Landmark Ledge Fund has been helping the families of ledge leapers since the panic of 1893. We guarantee a handsome ledge in a landmarked building when the time for your last leap comes. Landmark Ledge Fund. Reasonable premiums, legendary ledges.
A new thriller from the producers of the science fiction classic film The Bush Tax Cuts Will Create Jobs, and its sequel The War in Iraq Will Last 3 Months. In a world where people stopped believing that Barack Obama is a gay, atheistic Muslim socialist, only one man knows the truth.
Welcome back to Fox and Friends. Look, this president has been playing it cool to get a second term, but once he doesn't have to worry about re-election, he will raise taxes on firemen.
But he never even hinted he'd do a thing like that.
And mark my words, he will make little blind boys get married to other little blind boys.
It's only after the votes were counted that people finally believe the truth.
The president has won an historic second term and has issued an executive order to round up the little blind boys for the mass wedding.
How could we liberals have been so wrong?
The Republican Rumor Machine presents Obama's Second Term, O2H.
And millions weep today as conservatives are arrested. Interest rates go up 1,000,000%, and the president arrives at his second inauguration, driving a Prius hybrid made of Osama bin Laden's stem cells.
No institution was safe. No conspiracy theory was too petty or childish to be real.
All right, Dallas Cowboys. The president says the entire game of football has been canceled.
Oh, no! No way, man!
But, coach, the stadium is full of fans! They came here to see something!
I know. Gentlemen, bring out the yoga mats.
Oh, coach.
O for Obama. 2 for his second term. H because it's a better joke. If it has an H.
The U.S. Supreme Death Panel will come to order. We resume the trial of Ted Nugent on the charge of being Ted Nugent.
But I'm not Ted Nugent.
Quiet until you're sworn in.
Place your hand on this Koran. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, insofar as truth can be understood in a relativistic, amoral paradigm?
Huh?
I've heard enough. The Supreme Death Panel sentences you to death.
The Death Panel always sentences death.
Being white and heterosexual will become even harder than it is already. And Franklin Roosevelt will be replaced on the dime by Jimmy Carter, a Democrat.
Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world that the United States has won the war against religion.
We swear to God it's going to happen in O2H when Barack Obama gets reelected.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! George Zimmerman goes back in time to shoot Martin Luther King, scrapes own head, claims self-defense.
Greece averts latest financial meltdown by banning gay marriage.
Obama prepares I Got Coney speech.
And the home of the brave.
New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg's pro-bicycle agenda reached a new high watermark today with the announcement that a cyclists-only lane is being added to the long-under-construction 2nd Avenue subway. Deputy Mayor for Communications, Howard Wolfson.
Creating the city's first subterranean bike lane will reduce bicycle accidents by up to 15%, while costing a mere $1.4 billion and delaying the opening of the 2nd Avenue line by only 10 to 20 years.
Since becoming mayor, Bloomberg has closed much of Broadway to automobiles and has overseen the addition of 225 miles of bike lanes, many of them physically separated from the main flow of traffic. This 2nd Avenue subway bike lane is just the latest pro-biking measure proposed by Transportation Commissioner Jeanette Sadiq Khan.
Sure, this has led to some backlash. Like some who claim a dedicated bike lane on Prospect Park West only prevents a small number of deaths compared to how much harder it is for Senator Charles Schumer's wife to receive deliveries from Fresh Direct, Crate and Barrel, and Sherry Lehman.
Dana Muskowitz, spokesman for the Gotham Motorists Association, expressed bewilderment at the plan.
Our city's relentless promotion of a trivial hobby at the expense of drivers' urgent needs has reached unacceptable heights. Seriously, is the mayor in the pocket of the front-mounted basket industry?
Wilson acknowledged that the 2nd Avenue bike lane was likely to face criticism.
Bike lanes have become a third rail in the city's politics. So isn't 18 inches from a third rail the most natural place to put those lanes? Allowing underground cycling is an environmentally friendly way of moving traffic around the city, not to mention the potential to dramatically reduce the number of cyclists who are struck by lightning.
Mayor Bloomberg plans to address lightning bolts in his fifth term.
This is the Final Edition Radio Hour.
The Final Edition Shakespeare Company now presents Act 5 from William Shakespeare's immortal tragedy, The Fall of the House of Walmart. As our scene opens, soldiers are engaged in the final price war.
Welcome to Walmart. How may I help you?
Fair ancient greeter, how goeth the battle?
Our allies weaken, my liege. We have made them operate with thin profit, so they cannot stand up in the fray, and our customers continue to flee, driven off by the depressing ordeal and giant warehouse stench of our marketplace.
All may not be lost. Do we still have labor so cheap that full-time employees literally have to apply for food stamps?
For now, by faith. But someone unchained the custodial staff from the basement.
Fear not, terrified semi-retiree. Our cunning ambassador to Mexico hath promised the Duke we still may yet expand the army south.
But how shall he do so, my lord, knowing what a confounded pain in the ass it can be to do business in parts of Latin America?
They say he has a scheming plan, but soft, soldiers approacheth.
Alack! Our enemy is called Target, yet we cannot hit them.
And so to Mexico a knight retreats, to speak of discount comforters and sheets.
Hola, senor. Do you bear a tribute for me, a low-level Mexican official who can push through some building permits so you can set up Walmart stores without a lot of BS?
I give you not only these precious jewels and bounty, but also I trade away Walmart's shaky reputation as a respectable corporate entity.
Well, the Chinese also want to do business here, and they promised me a whore.
Alas! A whore! A whore! My kingdom for a whore!
That was the conclusion to William Shakespeare's tragedy, The Fall of the House of Walmart. Next week, the bard tells another sad tale in Romeo and News Corp. Or maybe it's called Rupert III. Or Macbeth. We're still working on it.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Al Jazeera names Barack Obama first gay Hussein.
Full cavity search during Supreme Court security check dislodges Justice Thomas from inside Justice Scalia.
Putin celebrates commencement of third term by arresting entire population of Russia.
You're listening to the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Speaker of the House John Boehner and Minority Senate Leader Mitch McConnell announced today that the GOP in Texas, Arizona, Kansas, and other education-challenged states that have defunded Planned Parenthood will support a replacement non-profit entity to provide a full raft of women's health services. Details were sparse, but services will include bloodletting, fertility spells, wet nurses, anti-suicide counseling, and in some cases, chastity belts. It's called Unplanned Parenthood. Speaker Boehner.
Unplanned Parenthood's mission is to fight President Obama's plan for parenthood, mandatory birth control, with God's plan for parenthood, uncontrolled birth.
Senator McConnell.
Birth control is our possibly Muslim president's plan to make white Christian Americans extinct. Forcing women to use birth control is a vile assault on their civil liberties. And, according to the fully accredited Republican Association of Profitable Medicine, can cause dire health problems like spontaneous combustion and leprosy.
According to the impeccably reliable mole inside the administration Obama, Herr Presidente also plans to establish birth panels to decide who gets born and to whom and what color and which way up.
Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona embraced the concept of uncontrolled birth as the finest expression of American freedom.
A woman should be free to have as many children as God wants her to. Here, in Arizona, it's also the best way to combat the fast-breeding brown pests who are overrunning our great state. Obama has no right to control birth. I'm telling the man in the White House to get out of our wombs.
But, Governor, didn't the Final Edition report earlier this year that you're a dromaeosaurid theropod dinosaur?
Yep. In layman's terms, I'm a velociraptor, and proud of it.
But being a cold-blooded reptile, you have no womb.
True, but I was speaking for all American women.
How would you yourself take part in uncontrolled birth?
By laying eggs, big ones too, and proud of it.
Texas Attorney General Greg Abbott, who in court 2 weeks ago likened Planned Parenthood to terrorists, is credited with originating Unplanned Parenthood.
You know what's funny? I got the idea from South Park. You know, their abortion clinic goes by that name. See, I've been investigating the show for probable cause to indict Trey Parker and Matt Stone on a capital charge of inciting women to abort living, breathing pre-Americans. Here's our message to Mr. Parker and Stone. Satire don't scare us Texans none. We're putting satire out of business by passing legislation that's so outlandish, is so arbitrary, and so inhuman that it's beyond the creative reach of even the sickest minds in our society. This is just the start. Stewart, Marr, Colbert, Parker, Stone, the Final Edition. Time you went and got real jobs.
AMC's The Killing breaks record for longest unsolved murder no one cares about.
Day 7,423. Another rainy, foggy, soggy, sopping, gloomy, overdramatic day in Seattle, the water now 5 inches deep in the streets. Everyone is completely drenched because a city ordinance forbids umbrellas. At a very evocative intersection, former cops Sarah Linden and Stephen Holder are sitting on Edward J. Peltz, a mob-connected dentist, and twisting his arm.
Ow! Get off of me!
Not until you tell us.
Tell you what?
Come on, Peltz. We know you knew Rosie Larson.
Of course I knew Rosie Larson. Everyone in Seattle knew Rosie. That girl led a highly energetic secret life which everyone in town knew about except her parents.
So admit you killed her.
Of course not. I have an airtight alibi.
Oh? What is it?
I was shooting smack with Holder at the time of her death.
Is that true, Holder?
Yeah, he's telling the truth.
You always disappoint me, Holder.
Sorry, I'm trying to change my colorful low-life tendencies. Did I tell you I'm in skank rehab now?
Could you guys get off of me? You're not even cops anymore. You're more like deranged homeless bums.
Maybe so. But we're still working the case. We're obsessed, you know.
I still have my badge. I gave the chief a fake one when he fired me.
We'll crack it, too. There are only 6 people left in Seattle we haven't eliminated as suspects.
Of course, we haven't checked out Walla Walla yet.
Cut to Stan Larson's house.
Boys, I told you to go to your room!
Oh, come on, Dad! We're in our late 40s! We want to get jobs and start twisted families of our own that have lots of dark secrets which, when unraveled, lead to corruption and cover-ups at the highest levels of society.
No! Not until we find Rosie's killer. Now go to your room or I'll revert to my violent past and beat someone to death because I think he killed Rosie, although it'll later turn out that he had nothing to do with it.
Okay, Dad.
And don't let me catch you talking to your Aunt Terry, who knows more about Rosie's death than she's letting on. She's dead to me.
We know, Dad. We saw you beat her to death in the last episode.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. But later, in a quiet moment of introspection, I'm going to feel deep regret over that. If you watch my face, you'll see a very agonized expression come over it as the camera zooms in.
Okay, Dad. Night!
Darren Richmond's campaign headquarters. The room is jammed with politicians, teachers, teenagers, reservation Indians, extras, and walk-ons.
Why you bring us all here, Richmond? It's crowded.
We all have something in common.
What's that?
We're red herrings. Every one of us had lives ruined because we were once suspects in the Larson murder. I'm in a wheelchair because of it, and I have to keep running for mayor over and over and over, even though I have no chance of winning.
And we Indians are sick of being portrayed as sinister crooks. It's not only false, well, okay, partially false. It's politically incorrect.
So what can we do about it?
I don't know. I was hoping someone might have an idea. I got nothing.
I have an idea.
Oh, my God! It's Rosie Larson! An older, more mature, and haggard Rosie Larson with lines of hard-won experience and tragedy etched on her beautiful face, but still recognizably Rosie Larson!
So you were never killed?
No, I just got tired of the never-ending, gloomy, rainy, over-dramatically yet symbolic and intensely atmospheric atmosphere of Seattle, and I ran away. I went to Hollywood and became a writer of episodic television. I created this show, in fact. Oh, please! We've won awards, and the critics love our gritty intensity and our gloomy, rainy atmosphere. The show's gonna run forever. And Rosie Larson's entirely fictional murder will never be solved. I stole the idea from Twin Peaks. Now, go back to your assigned roles and quit whining.
They rush Rosie Larson and beat her to death. Then they all stomp her to a bloody pulp and burn the remains. Then they beat the remains.
Yes, she's dead. But who really killed her?
It's time for the final edition Radio Hour's comedy classic. From the 1973 hit off-Broadway musical Lemmings, here's Christopher Guest singing his classic parody of Bob Dylan.
He's here! Bob is here! He's out there somewhere! Bob, where are you? Bob, you son of a gun, where are you? God damn it, I don't believe it! Bob is out there! Bob, where are you?
Bobby!
Bob, where is he?
I know he's out there,
Randy. There he is, over there! Hey, Bob! Come on up here, Bob, and famous with a tune. What do you say, Bobby? Come on up here. Come on, let's give him some encouragement. Let's get him up here. Come on, let's hear it. Come on, here he comes. Here he comes. There you go.
One tune, Bob.
He's not coming up. He's not coming up. I'll get him up here. Hey, Bob. Hey, Bobby. Hey, Bob. Hey.
Bob.
Trouble. Say you don't feel free. You don't know where you're going. Brother, don't ask me. Well, I don't give a darn, no. Out behind the barn.
Oh, out behind the barn. Well, I'm chewing on a piece of hay. Well, I'm up to my knees in cash here. Well, I'm shoveling my blues away. Oh, yeah.
Say I was your leader. Say I turned you on. You're starting to suspect now. It was all con. Oh, I don't give a darn who. Out behind the barn, yeah. You say I owe you something. Ask me for my plan. Just who are you expecting? Jesus Zimmerman? Boy, don't give a darn, no.
You know, be so vain. Well, I'm up to my knees in cash here. Well, I'm shoveling my blues away. Oh, yeah.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Octomom to breastfeed all 8 kids for time. Get paid $35.64.
Mitt Romney promises rich Christian supporters huge needles and tiny camels.
Jamie Dimon joins Tibetan monastery after hearing sound of one invisible hand clapping.
Since you don't have $1 billion, you probably weren't invited to an exclusive forum in an undisclosed location on an unannounced date, possibly underwritten by the world's richest man, Mexican Carlos the Jackal Slim. Our Stone Peck was also possibly not there, and he might not have filed this report.
Angered at repeated calls from governments in developed countries to raise taxes on them, the Forbes 400 most pornographically wealthy people ever are pushing back. Hard. Charles and David Koch, who combined are the richest person in the United States, said the time had come for insanely well-off people to cool it with individual entrepreneurship, pool their awesome resources, and take control of the planet they own. Charles and David Koch.
Watch out, organized labor. Here comes organized management.
John P. Manning, the Boston capital genius who squeezed $1.1 billion of blood from the low-income housing stone, file under How Does He Do It, had a practical suggestion.
Why don't we start a union of the super rich called the Fraternal Order of Billionaires Global Local One? Its mission would be to protect the inalienable human right to make more money than you'll ever, ever need.
The appallingly well-heeled attendees roared their approval, with one exception. Spanx thong mogul and ex-terrible comedienne Sarah Blakely.
Hi, y'all. I object to the word fraternal. Why not maternal? Or sisterhood?
Hey!
Hey, fix me a drinky poo, sugar bun.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
Steel Baron Lakshmi Mittal, the world's 20th richest man.
I suggest each impossibly pampered plutocrat present here today pay annual dues of $100 million to keep out mere multimillionaires. The trillion-plus war chest thus created can be used to take out busybodies like UNESCO, UNICEF, the World Health Organization, the International Confederation of Labor, the whole hyena pack of NGOs, and Elizabeth Warren.
It could also be used to finance traditional union strong-arm tactics, like arranging accidents for uncooperative politicians.
Walmart Air Christy Walton.
Collective bargaining by FOB Global Local 1 will mean huge increases in net worth for us hard-working financial titans.
Nations and regional trade groups that don't play ball can be brought to their knees in days by an FOB strike.
Casino King Sheldon Adelson.
Yeah, when we say strike, we don't just stay home from work. We mean, you ever want to see your currency alive again? You do whatever the fuck we say.
To express the spirit of the conference, billionaire Oprah Winfrey taught the 400 a new version of that old union hymn, The Internationale.
Arise, ye richest of the earth, the international smirking class will rule the human race. Arise, ye prisoners of taxation, arise, ye richest of the earth. The international smirking class will roll the hill.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, John Marshall, Marlena Francisco, Rachel Lyon, Anne Tuchel, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by Lou Grossberger, Jay Welch, Barry Lank, Peter Kleinman, Paul Seaburn, Mike Richardson Bryan, Jeff Kreisler, and Tony Hendra. Bob Dylan parody, Positively Wall Street, written by Paul Jacobs, Christopher Guest, and Sean Kelly. Visit us at thefinaledition.com often for daily doses of satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Kreisler and Tony Hendra and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of the Final Edition LLC, copyright 2012.